Earlham Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. We all know it's been well documented, the challenges of Saracens this season. That being said, they're a week away, or just over a week away, from a Heineken Cup quarter-final where they look to defend their trophy. It would be mouth-watering affair this weekend, though, as it's always juicy when they host Exeter, which is this weekend's fixture. To put us in the picture, it's our man in the know about the men in black, John Lewis. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Tony. How are you?
Doing really well. Again, always mindful of these challenging times. And we know, don't we, it's been a challenging season for Saracens. Do you know what? I was doing some number crunching, John, and a bit of a negative run of form. But if it wasn't for that points deduction that's long documented, Saracens would have 59 points, putting them there or thereabouts in second. So it just reminds us again of the strength and depth and the quality of character of this Saracens team to perform overall so manfully in what has been, as we know, a rather surreal season for them.
Yeah, and particularly when you bear in mind, so initially when they only had half a points deduction as it was, they were prioritising the league, so they had strong teams in the league, and they were putting out a B team in effect for the European. That's obviously changed since the second points deduction. So they have been putting out, varied teams for league matches. And the last couple of weeks have really shown that they're prioritising the game against Leinster in a week's time.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll build up to that one. But always it's a juicy affair, isn't it, when Exeter come to town. Exeter absolutely on form at the moment. I think they've won seven straight, their last defeat back in February, a narrow one to Quinns. But they don't travel to Alliance Park particularly well historically. So I know we'll talk about the changes and the somewhat different nature of the Saracens team, but they do have that historical ascendancy over the Chiefs, don't they?
Yeah, I think we've tended to beat them at Allianz, and we've struggled to beat them at down in Exeter. But today will be very different. Exeter have already in the playoffs. They've already qualified. Mm. They made 15 changes themselves, five new starters. So it is really going to be a team of youngsters with the odd sort of seasoned pro like Don Armand in their case, and Callum Clark in our case. Just there to bring a bit of leadership, but it really is going to be about blooding the youngsters for both coaches today.
Yeah, I totally understand that. So both sides in European quarter-final action next weekend. The All-English affair for Chiefs versus Northampton, and that big one we'll build up to with Saracens going back to Aviva Park in Ireland to take on four-time champs Leinster. But you made a great point there about the kind of nature of the makeups of both teams. There's only, I think, three players in the squads that featured in Saracens' victory over Exeter in the Premier Final last season. Wollstonecroft for Sarries, the hooker, as you've referenced already, England international and captain of the team, Don Armand for Exeter, and second rower Dave Dennis. So once again, it just demonstrates, doesn't it, the priorities, the focus, but also the quality and the academies and the strength in depth that these two great teams boast.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the great thing for, in some ways, an advert for Premiership and English rugby is the fact that these teams who are all about winning still bring great young players, and they give them a chance whenever it's appropriate. And you know, you have to be fair, Exeter are every bit as good at doing that as Saracens are.
Absolutely. That's why these two are always slugging it out at the top of the table, again, this season being a peculiar one. But case in point, though, again, just the facts. 12 players from the squad for Saracens have come through their academy. And, you know, again, just a lot of people at the moment will like to point fingers and say this and that about Saracens, but their commitment to the community, their commitment to identifying and developing talent is a lesson to all sporting clubs across the world, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was started some time ago when Brenda Bentner came in, mm-hmm. And sort of changed the whole ethos of the club, obviously under the leadership of the chairman. And they've kept to that philosophy. Mark McCall, obviously was schooled under Brenda Bentner for a while, and you know, that whole approach has been key to it, you know, being part of the community, really bringing on young players and giving something back, not just being there to win.
Yeah, absolutely. But through that, the winning culture has been maintained, and when you can achieve both, then you're in a good place. And I'm sure Saracens will return to the fore when next season is finished. Just a quick one, we can't not discuss Owen Farrell, one of their key already identifiable global stars in any estimation. People will critique his tackling methodology, and it's kind of bitten him again. I think I'm a little bit overall feel like there's a culture where the tackle is getting over policed at the moment. I think there should still be a place for strong, aggressive defence and tackling, but Farrell does frequently flirt with that line, and I think it's fair to say his tackle against Wasps was very much over the edge, and he's got a 5-match ban, so we'll be out for this crunch fixture and next week's European clash.
I don't think anybody would you know, disagree that was not a poor tackle, and the ban is fair. I didn't see the game, but as I understand it, he was frustrated with himself. He wasn't having his greatest against Wasps, and in classic Farrell style, he tends to try too hard. I think it is a case to put things right, and that was a case of a kick through, chased his own ball, got there too late, and he was straight up admitting it was a bad tackle, putting his hands up, and accepted the punishment, and rightly so. But I think there's also his tackling style is criticised, and rightly so. But part of the thing is, in his position, what he's just trying to hold the player up long enough to for others to get involved, and then for him to get back in position where he can influence the game. So he's not all the time sort of wrapping up, and he doesn't want to end up at the bottom of the ruck. What he's trying to do is just slow down the tackler enough so he can get back in position, as I say. And I think that sometimes misconstrued as very poor technique.
Well, it will be, though. I'm sure it's something that, because he is a student of the game, obviously comes from great family heritage, and he is a bona fide world-class star in any estimations. I'm sure he will be mindful of this and taking it on board. We'll see how that pans out. But panning in to the Saracens Exeter clash on Sunday, big day for Harry Sloane and Janko Venta, set for their debuts. Again, I just think it's exciting with this inexperienced team that there are these players coming in to feature. What are your expectations, though, for the game, given the very, very callow nature of this Saracens outfit?
Well, initially, before I saw the Exeter team, I was very fearful that they would get a bit of a hiding, given how strong Exeter are. But I think today it's going to be a very interesting and even game. We have some good young players in great form. Manu Vinopola is really coming on at right half. Don Morris, I was really impressed with, young winger. Rotten Sagan has been there for a while now, but he's looking better and better every game. And I think, there are a lot of young players there that will really benefit from this, and will be very, very strong in the championship next year as a result of this experience. So I think we can expect actually a very good game and quite an even game. And I might even this week fancy Saracens to shade it.
Well, we shall see. It's going to be competitive for sure in this very surreal season. Saracens will hope that comes to pass, John, your prediction, because they are on a run of two straight defeats. They haven't lost three in a row since December 2017. As I say, Exeter are on form. They top the table by some distance. Seven straight wins, but their form at Alliance Park is less than stellar. So these two Goliaths of the game will collide on Sunday. Looking forward to it. But then the fixtures keep coming. We've alluded to it throughout the chat. Two of the most successful teams in the 25 seasons of the European Championship Cup come together. Four times victors, Leinster, take on defending champions, three-time champs in Saracens on Saturday the 19th at Aviva Stadium. Again, you've mentioned that this pivot in Saracens' focus has gone on to the European Cup. Are we expecting a full-strength men in black, obviously, Harold notwithstanding, and your thoughts ahead of this ginormous, mouth-watering European quarter-final next weekend?
So I think, as I understand it, the doubt is Mako Vinopola. And clearly, if I need him, he's one of the best props in the world. Mm-hmm. And vital to their sort of forward dominance of any game. So they'll be working hard to get him fit. Other than that, as I understand it, everybody is good, with the obvious exception of Farrell. I imagine Alex Good will get the nod at number 10, with probably Elliot Davey going in at fullback. Mm-hmm. Good is a class operator wherever he plays, and just had his 300th game. And I think, yes, clearly they'll miss Farrell, but it will still be a very, very strong team.
Good by name, great by nature. He's world-class, that guy, and I still maintain he had ought to be an England star, but that's another conversation for another time. They know each other well, don't they, Leinster and Saracens? Of course, Saracens beat Leinster, come from behind victory in last season's European final, losing at an earlier stage in the previous campaign. So there's a lot of history here at stake. It's, of course, a wonderful Aviva Stadium. I wonder, does that give a slight edge to Leinster in this big one, or do you think it's going to be a real even contest?
Well, clearly it would if it was full of 60,000, passionate Leinster fans, as it would be normally. But in the event, as I assume that it won't be, then that must even things up a bit. Mm-hmm. Despite what I said about the strength of the team, I think the final last year, we really shouldn't underestimate the influence of Farrell on that game.
Indeed.
Grabbed hold of the team and really pushed them to come from behind and win. So they're going to need somebody that's got that leadership in his place. And Leinster, they've won 15 out of 15 games in their pool of the Pro 14 to win that group by 25 clear points. So they clearly are, in great form. So I think, whilst having an arena that is not full of very vocal supporters must help Saracens, it's still going to be a very, very tough game.
Yeah, absolutely. We look forward to that. We look forward to Saracens Exeter at the Alliance on Sunday. And right now, John, as always, a massive thank you for your time. To you and yours, sending best wishes. Keep well, keep safe, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.